Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we come here this morning in anticipation, Lord. In anticipation of revelations of you, Lord. To know you more. To become more like you. Lord, we just pray for your presence here, and we pray, Lord, that you'd open your word for us to receive and understand. That you would open heaven for us, Lord, and pour out your love and your spirit and your presence. Just touch us today, Lord. We come seeking you. We come needing you. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. You have a purpose for each one of us, Lord. And may that be fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture was from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. And I'm going to read it again, and then we're going to go somewhere else. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We're going to be actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because it is Communion Sunday. And that's where we're going. Even though Mark 14, of course, talks about the communion as well. This morning we'll do what Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. It's what we do every month on the first Sunday of the month. This morning we remember Jesus and what he did. Why he did it. And what it means to us. Now, some people feel that communion should be done every week, maybe even every day. Some people think it should be done maybe once a year, or once every 6 months. But we do it every month on the first Sunday, as I said. We do it once a month because we don't want it to be too commonplace, because it's an event that we're supposed to remember and we're supposed to bring it back to our mind. But on the other hand, if we space it too far apart, then it's not going to mean as much either. It will be too rare. Some churches, they like to do it sooner, more often. Some don't. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the King's Table, is a symbolic act that calls to mind the death, the resurrection, and the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read 23 through 26 first, and then we'll get to the rest of it afterwards. Of course, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. This is from his first letter to them. There may have been others. I don't know. It's the first one that we have in our Bible. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Communion is a time of remembrance. That's why Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Now, of course, we know that they were observing the Passover. But what was about to be revealed to them was the true meaning of the Passover, because it's about Jesus Christ. It's always about Jesus Christ. He didn't change anything. It's always been about the sacrifice of the Lamb, and He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This do ye in remembrance of me. There are three things that we're going to look at about communion. The first one, number one, it's a time of commemoration. The word commemorate means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony, to serve as a memorial to something. Several things we commemorate. We commemorate His sufferings. Verses 24 and 25, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Those two verses talk about the broken body and the blood of Jesus. Both of these terms tell of His suffering and His pain. We see that Jesus suffered at the hands of man. Isaiah 52:14 says, "As many were astonished at these, so His visage was marred more than any man, in His form more than the sons of men." Before He even went to that cross, He was unrecognizable. He had been beaten so bad and so much. So He experienced suffering at the hands of man. But He also suffered at the hands of God, the Father. Isaiah 53:1-12, I'm going to read the whole thing. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Many people say the Old Testament isn't really about Jesus Christ. That's from the Old Testament. If you want to read something else, read Psalms 22. Very specific, very detailed, exactly what happened. There's 300 or 400 prophecies about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament that were fulfilled, and that's amazing. The cross. You know, I think that if there had been something even more painful that He could have experienced, He would have chose it. Because He chose the most painful death imaginable at that time. And it probably still is. We get the word excruciating from the word crucifixion. Did you know that? So we commemorate his sufferings. We also commemorate his sacrifices. John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came from heaven. He chose to come to the earth. I don't know how nice it is up there. I imagine it's a lot better than here, of course. But we can't really imagine. Paul says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We don't know what it's like up there, but he chose to leave the wonderfulness, everything about heaven, and come to the earth and live a life of sacrifice for us. He took the form of man. He lived a perfect life and died in our place so that we could be saved from hell. He lived a perfect life. That's a sacrifice too, isn't it? Philippians 2:5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He sacrificed what he had in heaven to come to earth to do this. And to do this, he suffered shame, rejection, poverty, pain, and death for us. We have to remember that this is true for each one of us. If we were the only person to have ever lived, Jesus Christ would have still done that for us. See, it's personal. It's individual. Oh, it's corporate, of course, but it's also individual. It's for each one of us. Number two, it's a time of celebration. The word celebration means to mark a special occasion or day by ceremonies or festivities. It comes from a Latin word that means to attend a feast. And that's what it is. Now, we may look at this little tiny piece of bread, this little cracker, and this little cup of juice and say, this is a feast. Well, we got to remember what God can do with little tiny amounts of food. He can feed thousands of people, can't we? But it's more than that. There's a spiritual aspect to this, and it is a feast. And because it's a feast, our hearts should be filled with gladness and joy and thanksgiving, shouldn't it? What do we celebrate? We celebrate his compassion. You notice in verse 24, the words, for you. This is my body that's been broken for you. He did it out of love. This should remind us that what Jesus did, what he suffered, was because he loves us. Can you imagine the amount of love it took for him to do what he did? Greater love hath no man but that he laid down his life for his brother. We celebrate his conquest. Now, when he was up there on that cross, it sure didn't look like he was conquering anything, did it? But he was. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, how can he come if he died? Because he conquered the grave. He conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And also by living a perfect life, he conquered the world too, didn't he? He conquered the devil. The only thing left for him to conquer is our hearts, right? Each one of us. Submit to God. Submit to him. So we celebrate his coming. Like I just read, he's coming back. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Does that mean when we see him coming on the clouds, when he comes back, that we're going to love him then? Yeah. But it also means we love his appearing now, before it happens, don't we? Because we can take that and we can cling to that and we can hold that. And we know that this world isn't going to last forever and he's coming back to get us. All things will be made right. All things will be made better. All things will be made wonderful. Number three, it's a time of contemplation, which means to think about something seriously and at length. Verses 27 through 32. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That means not knowing, not caring, not being affected at all by his sacrifice for us. Not discerning the Lord's body. "For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." There are two things that we must contemplate. Number one, we must contemplate our salvation. Who is Paul writing to in this letter? He uses words like us and we. So he's talking to himself. And he's also talking to other believers, isn't he? He's not speaking to the unsaved. Who is this for? You know, nobody knows anybody else's heart. I can't tell by looking at somebody just what their heart condition is with the Lord. You know, we can say to anybody, "You're welcome to participate in this." But really, it's up to each one of us to ask ourselves, "Am I welcome to participate in this? Is my heart right with God? Is this the right thing that I should do?" We're glad that you're here today. Everybody, all your smiling faces. Numbers are picking up a little bit too, aren't they? That happens this time of year. People start coming back. But if you happen to be here today and you're lost in sin, headed for hell, you have to decline partaking of this. Or you have to talk to God about it. You have to give your heart to him. It's really that simple. Some people make a very big deal out of it. It's really simple. And we can do it right now just to make sure. I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. And I'm going to ask that as you pray this, you may have been saved all your life, but mean it. Be real with God. Be sincere with God. "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I haven't lived for you. I know you died for me to save me from my sin. I ask you now to forgive me. come into my heart, be my Savior, and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Second thing we have to contemplate is our sanctification. Let's look at verse 27 again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There's a word in that verse that should kind of scare us. We need to take it seriously. That word is unworthily. You know, of course, we're not worthy of anything the Lord has for us, are we? That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called mercy. If we partake of this, the bread and the cup unworthily, then we're guilty of not reverencing his body, which can bring God's wrath upon us. We read that in the rest of this passage. We're told in verses 28 to 31 to examine ourselves. Are we as bad as those people that mocked him and jeered him when he was on the cross? If we don't take what we do here seriously, then we are, aren't we? It's the same thing. It becomes something empty, something meaningless. He shed a lot of blood on that cross. He suffered a lot on that cross. Do we need to confess anything to him now? We probably all do, don't we? Not me, no. I won't say that. Is our heart right before him this morning? Just as it was very easy to receive him as our Savior, it's just as easy to restore our relationship with him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and hand out the elements. And as they're being handed out, I just want each one of us just to kind of close our eyes maybe, or just lock ourselves up with the Lord and just talk to him about the things that maybe he might have against us. My mother used to say, wash your hands and come to dinner. That's really pretty close to what we're doing right now, isn't it? Jesus says, wash your heart and come to dinner. He says, come to my feast. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? And when he had given thanks, he took the bread. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual nourishment that it provides, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood, you gave your body to be broken for us. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that you shed, and we thank you, Lord, for this cup and what it represents. You may drink the cup.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you do in our hearts and in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity, Lord, to just come to you and just celebrate what you did for us. Lord, may we be ever mindful of what that sacrifice cost you, the price you paid for it. And let us be ever mindful that your blood cleansed us from our sins. And Lord, we just pray that you just change our lives and make us into what you want us to be. As we continue to grow in you, just keep us close to you, Lord. I pray that you go with each person here today and guard our hearts, Lord. Guide and direct us into your ways with your love, Lord. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.